Hi there, and welcome to this episode of A Couple Takes on MS. Hi, I'm Dan Digman.
And hi, it's me, Jennifer Digman.
And we're A Couple Takes on MS. I'm walking.
And I'm rolling.
But together, we're moving forward. And today, what we're moving forward with, and we could not be more excited. I mean, we're always excited when we're recording, but we are joined today by a hot MS. I mean, I think that's how you know her, but it's Brittany Quiros. And Brittany, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us for today's showing.
Thank you both so much. I'm so excited to speak with both of you. I've admired both of you since my diagnosis in 2019, and I'm so grateful to be here.
Well, thank you. That's incredibly kind. And likewise, we have enjoyed reading your everything and seeing all of your posts and social media. You're quite influential. And so we're just grateful that you're speaking with us right now.
And I think that what we're looking at is, you know, we could read intros or just your bio and everything, but I think for those who don't know who Brittany is, I think how would you, if we were at a coffee shop in the morning, waiting for the barista to brew our coffee, or at the bar at night waiting for the bartender to mix the drink, and we were there waiting for that, and we strike up a conversation, what would you tell us about who you are?
Gosh, if it's something as organic as that, I would probably crack a joke and say, hi, I'm your favorite neighborhood dumpster fire.
Love it.
No, but I really think that there's power in bragging about the disasters. I've sort of built my brand of a hot MS around that when I was diagnosed in 2019. And I am a full-time motivational speaker now, MS advocate, recording artist. I'm so grateful to just be a wacky person on the internet that people have put their trust in. I think that's a huge honor and a huge responsibility. So I'm just out here trying to change people's perceptions to not necessarily view their obstacles in life as setbacks, but to actually use them and view them as springboards or towards strengths.
Wow. See, that's awesome. There's your, you know, 60 minutes, drinks are served. And then we go back where it's like, hey, this is really cool. Let's go sit at the table and chat. So let's chat then. So 2019, you were diagnosed. What made you think at that point in time, this is what I want to do, to use my voice online to do this and change the world? I mean, how do you even do that? I mean, just for...
Yeah, it's a loaded question, because in life, we go through different periods and different, you know, chapters in life where we'll enter into the next chapter and we'll go, wow, like everything I did in that chapter, I'm wasting, like I'm not using it. And life is kind of like a puzzle piece like that, where you don't have the aha moment of reflective, collaborating on all of it to go, oh, okay, everything is meant for this now. But years prior to my diagnosis, you know, I was working, as a recording artist. I was putting out music and, you know, working with new producers, and we were working on an album, and I was, and this is something that I'm openly transparent about because it's life, and life is messy and life is real, but I was in a horrible first marriage, very, very abusive. I was a victim of domestic violence, both physical, mental, soulful. It was just horrible. So all of that was going on while I was recording this record that, you know, was focusing on someone else's music, not really mine, more so focusing on somebody else's story. And I just felt empty. And I was, you know, working, I don't know if you want to call them normal jobs, to substantiate the term starving artist, because it's legit, it's real. But I never felt like I was doing enough with my life. And I kept praying, just saying, you know, God, just bring something into my life to change the trajectory of where I'm headed, because I feel like I'm headed nowhere. And when you're not moving and you're not moving forward and you're certainly not moving backwards and you're just stuck, God has to make you really uncomfortable or else you're never going to move. So that's really what happened for me is, you know, leading the years leading up to my diagnosis, I was, I guess, marginally happy. I had gotten out of the first marriage, met my husband now, and he's just amazing, super supportive. And it wasn't enough. So it's funny because it was about like 3 months prior to diagnosis, I kept telling John, my husband, I'm like, this is not what God wants me to do. Like, this is not it. And he's like, well, what is it? I'm like, I have no idea, but I feel something coming. And I did. It's funny. It's kind of like an earthquake where you feel something's coming. You know, you have to brace yourself, but you're not sure if it's a good thing or a bad thing yet. And then I was diagnosed. So everything made sense.
Wow.
And that is just how, I mean, when you were diagnosed, you were married. Yes. Correct. To your husband. Yes. Now.
Yeah. I was married. We got married 4 months before my diagnosis. So it was like up and then it was down.
Wow.
And how has that marriage, I mean, how has your life, I mean, you have gotten your pieces together and you're still, as you say, a dumpster fire sometimes. But I mean, just how have you managed to move forward? Like, what, you've talked about your faith, but what resources, where do you find your inspiration and your strength?
I find my inspiration and my strength from other people living with MS.
Okay.
Because I, going through it, when I started what I started, and I started a hot MS 5 days after my diagnosis. Now,
wow.
For the rest of the world, they thought that I lost my mind. And literally people were telling me, Britt, you're in denial. This is a clear thing of denial that you're taking your diagnosis and turning it into a business. But I knew, it's like, okay, to kind of go back to the diagnosis day. It's super unnerving to feel peace when you have nothing to substantiate where the peace is coming from. And when I got the call, I did. I felt peace. And I got home and I told Johnny, I'm like, I feel really calm about this. And it's freaking me out because I have nothing to substantiate why I'm like cool with this. And I'm like, this has to be God. Like, this is exactly what I had been praying for, something to come into my life to change so I can give back to others. I'm like, this is it. He's like, well, what do you do with it? I'm like, I don't know. I have no idea. So I got on the internet and I started looking up, you know, other people living with multiple sclerosis. And I found a few other influencers, Ardra Shepherd. She was the first one that I really resonated with online. And I go, you know what? People are actually doing this, like they're making a living telling the good, bad, and the ugly. And that's what I wanted to do. I knew that I wasn't receiving in my diagnostic process, which was with Kaiser at the time, very, very little emotional and mental support. There was not a big, there were so many gaps in the diagnostic process that I'm like, I feel like there should be more. So I went and found more through community. You know, and that's a hard thing for people that are not gung-ho on finding opportunity for themselves. Some people need that presented to them. So that's why I do what I do. So if you are newly diagnosed, you can find my crazy inked up self on the internet and go, okay, well, I understand where she's coming from, and she's, you know, making me feel a little bit better about my diagnosis. That's why I do what I do. I don't want anyone to ever feel that this is a death sentence, because it's not. It's hard, but it is not the end all.
No, and that's a message that I think so many of us living with MS, we try to share in our community. We want to share it with the people that are living with the disease, but we also want to share it with our family and friends, because it sometimes feels that they worry just as much, or more about the disease, where we those of us who have it are like, we've got this. So
exactly.
Yes. Well, and you talked then about everything, and we will have links on the liner notes for this show to everything that is a hot MS so that you can find Brittany anywhere and everywhere. But, you know, you talk about everything that you did 5 days after you're diagnosed, and this is booming, but you never stop. And I think that's the one thing, because you've found a way to elevate and take your music and your talents, your skills, to release a song, and that came out like early March. Yes.
Yeah. March 10th.
Exactly. And so then, and you've just been pushing and moving that. And we also will have a link to that. And it's the song Never Have My Soul. And can you talk a little bit about that? I mean, just how did that come about? And we will play, you know, here's a sample of the song. Yeah.
So my music partner happens to also be my mother. And this, I know when you say that, it sounds like, oh, is this like a Von Trapp thing? Like, no, it's like, it's a little bit more edgy than that. we have been performing together for over 30 years professionally and writing together for over 20. So that first album that was happening during my first marriage, it was just, it was her and I, but it was being kind of orchestrated from a point of what is marketable and, you know, what people want to hear. And it wasn't telling my story at all. And it certainly wasn't lining up with the morals and parameters I have now for myself. But when I was diagnosed, it was sort of like a green light for us to kind of reframe our music and restructure it to be a you know, a source of hope for those living with MS or disabilities or chronic illness. So since my diagnosis, we actually shifted the focus of all of our original music to be motivational for MS and disability communities. We're releasing an upcoming record as a duo. Our duo name is 828 for Romans 828, because we know that none of this would be possible without God and our faith and, you know, for a greater purpose. And we wanted to release, you know, a single first benefiting those living with MS, where all proceeds of that single, including merch, go back to the National MS Society. So that's what we've done. We released the single. We've got the very, very exciting top secret music video being released on May 30th for World MS Day as well.
How wow. Fantastic.
I mean, and so how does that come about? I mean, because this isn't just like, hey, we're going to record a song and do this. I mean, this is monumental.
It's a lot. I think that I have sort of this like warped obsession with time now. And MS will do that to you. It kind of puts things into perspective of like, don't waste time. And because I don't know what my body's going to do. I don't know how fast it's going to progress. You know, before we get something substantial in terms of remyelination in process, I know we're like entering into clinical trial periods now for that. So we don't know what's going to happen. So for me, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go as hard as I can, as much as I can now while I still can, because I don't know when the next obstacle is going to hit. So, but in retrospect, I'm like sort of correcting myself as I even say this. Even with a future obstacle being presented, I know that I'll be able to navigate around it. And I mean, if we go back, you know, God didn't remove the Red Sea, he parted it. So it's like, there's always going to be a way that you're going to be able to navigate around things. It's going to be very challenging. But I think, you know, the most important thing is just to stay focused. And by me staying focused on our community, like, I don't want anybody to realize, okay, I now need to use a walking stick and I'm only in my 30s or I mean, in my 40s, whatever. And people are going to judge me or people are going to stare. It's like, that is the most uncomfortable feeling in the world, to feel that critiqued and that judged for something that you genuinely need. Like, I'm not going to feel bad. That would be like you saying that you feel bad about wearing glasses. because they help you see.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It's totally, completely absurd. So this is why I do what I do. I just want to connect with people. I want to show people that, look, yeah, it's going to be hard. And you can have your pity party for one with your little hats and your balloons and celebrate, you know, the fact that you feel like your life is falling apart. But there's so much value in the moments that we feel that life is out of control. Because when things are all cool and cushy and comfy, I know I'm not growing the most at all. No way. I'm going to grow when I have been brought to my knees, soulfully stripped, when I have hit rock bottom, because sometimes God wants you to hit rock bottom to realize that he is the rock at the bottom.
I like that. And we, you know, we had something in church this last Sunday where it was like saying, you know, that, you know, you feel broken, but it's like, you know, it's God saying you're not broken. You're becoming. It's like you're becoming who you're meant to be.
Yes, absolutely. And that is the biggest misconception with struggle and with failure. You know, it's great that we go through periods of life where we're being rewarded for things and, you know, things are going well. And we of course, those things deserve acknowledgement. Like you got the house or you had the baby or, you know, graduated at the top of your class valedictorian. That's amazing. But I would personally rather sit down and talk with somebody who has lost everything, who has been brought to their knees, who's had no hope left, and then they got themselves out of it. Those are the kinds of conversations that are monumental in terms of growth and transformation.
And wow, just I'm sitting here dumbfounded because I think it kind of dovetails or it marries well with being diagnosed with MS. I don't know about you. You were in a place of calm, but I know that when I was diagnosed, I was blindsided and it brought me to my knees, as you said, where you're just, and I'm sure people listening today have felt like that with their multiple sclerosis or whatever illness or situation they're dealing with. And it's inspiring and it's hopeful to know that you can be built back up and you can get to a more comfortable place.
Well, I look at it this way. Life is very short. I don't intend on wasting it. And I say this because I wasted almost a decade of my own life from my late teens into my early 20s.
Mm-hmm.
I was in a horribly dark place. I had no self-confidence. I was not walking with God. I was a super lazy Christian. I was in the worst depression of my life. Now, I know physicality wise, I am really good at depression. Like I am, like I will succeed. I will go in the hole and I will not come out if I allow myself to. And I was there, you guys, for years. So, and that's not just contributive of my first marriage. It's, you know, a contributive of other traumatic things that have happened that nobody should ever have to encounter in their life. And one day it'll be in a book. But I came from a long line of trauma, deeply rooted, didn't seek help for it, trauma. And this is what sort of catapulted me into tattoos, because people will look at like a headshot of mine from almost 20 years ago and they'll go, whoa, that's different.
Yeah.
You look entirely different. What changed? And around 21 to 23, things were happening in my life that were not something that was necessarily brought on by myself. It was brought on by other people and unfortunate things that were happening. And I did not seek mental health support for it. I did not talk about how it was affecting my heart and my soul and my life. I still struggle with major PTSD from these things. And I actually, now I know by kind of like going back and shrinking myself a little bit, I'm like, okay, Britt, you were going through so much emotionally that you needed to compensate with a physical sensation to offset that. So I accumulated about 90% of my tattoos in a year and a half period.
Wow.
People are like, whoa, she's lost her mind. But, you know, now I don't regret it. Has it changed opportunities for me? Absolutely. I mean, there's still not a tattoo Broadway show. I'm waiting for that to happen. That's where I grew up. I grew up on stage. I grew up in theater, and I miss it so much. Could my body handle it now? I'm not sure. Am I up for the challenge? Absolutely. But I talk about this now to let people know that, look, like, my story is just my story. MS is not going to be a blessing for everybody. I understand that. I know that. And I know that for newly diagnosed people, me saying that, they're going to look at me like, I don't know what the heck you're talking about, Britt. You are clearly insane. I'm only saying it because we're here for a very short amount of time. Life is a series of choices, as my dad always says. And I really think that there is power in rebirth. And I just know that, MS is not the worst thing that's happened to me in my life. And I know that without those other things, having experienced them, I would not be able to have the perception that I have now towards an incurable and progressive disease.
And that is something that I think a lot of us, we need to remember and realize that you're here for a reason. And as you said, Brittany, so beautifully, we're not here for a long time. You need to savor and don't waste it. And I think going away with this conversation, that should be one thing that everyone takes with them, is that you need to savor and do it. Just be seizing the day. And you're right, MS is not easy for everyone, but the when you get accomplished things, it makes the victories that much sweeter.
Absolutely. And there's such like a misconception with, oh, I have to have it put together all the time and no one can see me cry and no one can hear me fart. Like, come on, guys, it's life. Like, it's so silly. It's this misconception that we have to have everything poised and perfect and you can never let the mess out and you can never let the ugly, fugly things of your life show. But it's ridiculous. There's so much, and there's so much, self-stifling of being able to say, hey, you know what? I'm a complete train wreck this week, and I'm gonna just laugh about it because laughing about it is a lot easier than crying about it.
Absolutely. And the disease puts enough crap in your life that you don't need to
Amen.
inflict more crap on yourself and pressure. And it's okay.
Exactly. So celebrate
Embrace the
them.
mess. Yes. So
Celebrate them.
then, as we're talking about everything, you say like we just rise above, and you're going to continue to go and push yourself. We're here for a short time. Then how do you navigate that when you say, okay, I need to stop? There's so much, some people want to like drive and get motivated, but then it's just like, how do you then give yourself the permission to stop and say, okay, Brittany, I need to just stop.
Definitely. And that is something that I do struggle with. I have a tendency of saying yes to everybody because I am on a quest to change perception, change the, stigma of what disability looks like. So sometimes I have to remind myself, like, whoa, Britt, slow your roll. And, Rome wasn't built in a day. You got to chill. And my, Johnny will remind me this all the time. He's like, Britt, it's 8 o'clock. You need to stop now. The majority of my ideas happen at night. It's sort of like my brain dumping moment where I'll just lie down and my brain doesn't stop thinking. So, like at night, I'll set calendar reminders, for the next day, do this or work on this or, start a program to, start this or whatnot. And, John's hearing the dings on the calendar reminder, the phone go off. He's like, are you gonna stop? You have to. So he does remind me, but I am an East Coast Italian Scorpio, so. But no, I think it's really about like body awareness. My body, I have learned to be very in tune with it and communicate with it, and it will tell me like, you're done, you need to stop, no. And saying no now is one of my favorite things. And I am a habitual rescheduler. You know, I used to have a lot of pressure to meet deadlines or, you know, like, nope, we have to film on this day and there's no wiggle room around it, where I'm like, look, you're working with somebody that is disabled. I am, yes, I am professional and motivational speaker and content creator, whatever you want to call it, entrepreneur, philanthropist, but I'm also a patient living with MS. So I have found by being completely transparent with the companies that I do partner and work with and say, hey, I just had treatment a couple of days ago. Is there any way that we can move this? Is there any way that we can have like a couple of days of a buffer? 99% of the time, they are completely supportive and perfectly fine with me asking this. I don't think I've ever had somebody give me pushback, unless it was a company that was not affiliated in any way, shape, or form with chronic illness or disability.
And that is important, where you need to advocate for yourself and you need to remember that you are the most important piece of the puzzle, that people can wait. You have to take care of yourself.
Absolutely. And coming from a people pleaser, which I still am in a healthier way, that was really, really tricky for me because, you know, I felt guilt. I felt like I needed to make everybody else happy. And I'm like, well, I'm putting myself last, you know? So like even on my desk, like, and trust me, people will write me all the time and they go, Britt, you have it all together. I'm like, no, you're so wrong. I do not. And this is why I'm very careful about what I post. I do not believe in posting only positive things. I think that's unhealthy. I think it's unrealistic. I try to give it a healthy balance of, you know, like last night I put out a quick little talk on Instagram wearing, you know, a mud face mask, because I'm like, you know what? I have a message right now and I don't care what I look like. And MS brain just kicked in, Dan and Jen, and I have no idea where I was going with this.
And, you know, likewise, I think it's just sometimes Dan and I will be enjoying the conversation so much that the point doesn't need to be made. It's just the conversation is good, and that's the reality of multiple sclerosis. We roll with it. Yeah, and we just roll. So,
you know, something that, you know, we always feel that we're like, does MS define us? And we always say, well, you know, we're redefining what MS is, you know, and what we right. do. But it's like so much of our life revolves around multiple sclerosis, whether it's in advocacy, whether it's walking, fundraising, blogging, writing. But at the same yeah. time, how do you then, because you know, we're a couple takes on MS, you're a hot MS. Do you feel that the disease defines you, or are you redefining what it is?
Oh gosh. Sorry. That would be my 2.5-pound Yorkie deciding to express herself to our gardener
nice.
And landscaper. I think that MS, okay. I think we're given an opportunity to decide what we want to do with the mess. While MS does not define me, I mean, I'm an artist. I'm a recording artist. I'm a wacky, you know, person that just likes being spontaneous and creative. And, you know, there's so much freedom in that. But like, even from a kid, like I was bullied horrifically, like really, really horrible. I think I've been in the pit so many times that I just know that I don't want to go back there. And I know how hard it was to get out and pull myself out of that. So now in a way I'm like, you know what? I was given the blessing by being pulled out of the pit, that now I need to go back in the pit and pull other people out.
Hmm. Wow.
And so that is redefining and making MS you're defining it. You're making it your own.
And that,
That's strong.
I think it's just like Jennifer said, just listening. You're just like, sometimes you're just like blown away and just absorb. It's like, dang, that's so smart.
Yeah.
I just know that, I mean, I know we all go through like horrible pain and like horrible things. And it's just, it's really mindset. Like you have to rework the way you think. Like, okay, here's an example. My mother yesterday, Kristen, her entire personal Facebook page got hacked. And this was a Facebook page she had for like almost, I don't know, 15, 20 years or so, if Facebook's been around that long, because I feel old. and she was just falling apart this week. You know, I can't get back in. And they're actually, unfortunately, there's no way for her to even redirect everything to start the account back up. And I'm like, okay, look, I have learned to be observant. And the last year, you know, just side note, like her and I will have conversations and she's like, you know, the friends that I have on Facebook, like they're not even people that I have in my life anymore. And they don't, you know, walk in the same, you know, field of value and of morals. And there's a lot of, you know, drama from people and chaos and stress. And I'm like, well, that's the power of social media. You have the ability to customize your circle and protect your bubble, you know, and set those boundaries. So this is a conversation that she had been having with me for over a year of like getting so stressed out by social media. I go, Mom, don't you see that this is a blessing? Like you have to widen your perception to go, wait a minute, I had a problem with X, Y, and Z. It wasn't working for me. Now everything has been removed. Now I have the chance to rebuild. Now I have the chance to start over, clean slate. Sometimes in order for you to move to the next growth period of life, everything has to be broken first. You have to start from scratch. But people think that, oh, if I start from scratch, it means I failed. No, it does not mean that at all. It means you now have the experience from what didn't work. You have the education from what didn't work. And you have the drive to not do that again. That's a huge opportunity.
Isn't that the truth? And what a good way to just say it, just with those three pieces. Look at what you have. Don't look at it as a failure. Look at it as an opportunity.
Yeah. And, you know, I know that I get that sort of perception of gratitude from my husband. Johnny is 21 years sober. He with alcohol, and he's really active in program. And, you know, gratitude is a huge fundamental part of AA. I'm not an alcoholic. I don't follow a program like that, but it's really applicable. Those principles are so applicable to every obstacle in life. You cannot have sustainable optimism and positivity without gratitude. The two go hand in hand. You have to have gratitude in order for you to be able to widen your perception and go, you know what? Yes, this sucks. It's painful. It's unfortunate right now, but I'm going to be able to navigate around it and get through it because I'm grateful for X, Y, and Z.
Yes.
But then the next question comes of, well, how do you have gratitude for something that is completely life altering? That's the hard part. Because you're going to have the negative days. You're going to have the days where your body is in complete control and MS doesn't care how you feel. Mm. MS doesn't care about our plans. Like, come on.
MS, you know, but it's like, MS laughs when we're busy making plans.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. So it's just, I don't know. It's sort of being able to separate yourself, widen that perception and go, okay, I'm going to allow myself 2 hours to feel completely sorry for myself. And then I'm going to figure out a new way of doing what I love to do. And that's the thing that I think a lot of people have a hard time with, is that they're afraid to adapt. They're afraid because, well, I used to be able to do X, Y, and Z. Well, Dan and Jen, I used to be a size 2 running around Manhattan at auditions in high heels. That is not my current reality.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's like you just have to find new ways of figuring out how to do the things that you love. Because so many of us, I hear, oh, well, I had to say goodbye to that. It's like, but did you? Or did you just need to find a new way of doing it?
Mm-hmm. Or find new things to do.
I mean, exactly. Yep. Wow. Yep. I mean, I can't go on a half pack, you know, to Catalina for deep sea fishing with a group of 50 plus grown men anymore. My balance is going to be off. I'll get hooked, or I'll, you know, give somebody else an accidental injury. But yeah, I'm going to still rent a boat mm-hmm. with, you know, a crew of two or three with me and my husband and a couple of friends and a smaller, you know, thing where I have a chair and somebody can duct tape me to the edge of the boat and pull in a tuna. But yeah, I mean, it's like, I'm not going to say goodbye to those things. Will I pay for it the day after? Absolutely. But I'm a glutton for punishment, and I'll figure it out afterward.
Well, you go through it and you know you're going to have to pay for it for a day or two, but it's just like, you know that you're the one that made it happen. So it's so worth it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, the MS tax.
Exactly. Well, Brittany, thank you. As we're talking about gratitude and stuff, thank you. Thank you so much for taking the time to pause and chat with us for a few minutes.
Oh my gosh. Thank you both for everything that you're doing. I have admired both of, and I'm not just saying this, like I truly make a habit of digging into what other advocates, and I hate the term influencer, but you know, what other people in the space of MS are doing mm-hmm. To help those living with MS and help the community. And I have just been in awe of not even just what you guys are doing as a couple, but your love story. Like, it's just, that's amazing to me. That's God working and saying, you two need each other. Now go change the world. And that's what you guys are doing. So I'm honored to have had the chance to chat with both of you.
Oh, well, thank you so very much.
I was just like, yeah, when you said yes, I'll chat with you on the podcast, I was like, oh my God, she's going to talk to us. That's so cool.
Yeah. And so, I'm going to out your secret, you guys. I'm going to out the secret. So Dan, Jen, and I, we recorded this podcast, what, a week ago? And I'm letting the mess hang right out, Digmans.
Please, let it hang out.
So we recorded the podcast about a week ago. And, you know, there's always technological errors and obstacles that happen. And we realized at the end that it never recorded. And
that's
Dan and Jen,
me.
You were like, oh my gosh, I'm going to throw up. I'm so sorry. And I'm like, no. Like, don't go there. Look at this as an opportunity to celebrate the mess, because now we get to have the conversation all over again, and it might be better.
It is better, and it's just another opportunity to talk to a good friend in the MS community. So this is fun.
I was going to say,
because
I, well, and it's almost like, you know, it's similar conversation, but entirely different. So no, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us twice even.
Hey, so, and if there's a third time, I'll be there and we'll make something beautiful again.
And we will have links to everything again on our website. It's a couple takes on MS.com. And everything through the liner notes, so that you can connect with Brittany, a hot MS, and listen to the song, download the song. We'll have links for that, and all the proceeds go to the National MS Society. And I'm just so excited to be able to share the story. And so, Brittany, again, thank you so much for taking the time again.
Of course. Thank you so much, both of you, for having me.
Well, thank you. And we're a couple takes on MS. I'm Jennifer Digman, and I'm rolling.
And I'm Dan Digman, and I'm walking. But together, we're moving forward. So until next time, take care.